So what we're going to do, we're going to start off in a word of prayer before we get in the word this morning. Lord, we love you and we just thank you for your word, God, that we can come into your house today. Lord, we open our hearts and our minds and just say, speak to us, Lord. We're here. I pray that whatever fears or concerns or issues that we may have come in to church with today, God, that you give us the power and the grace to set it aside, even for a little bit. Lord, that nothing would steal your word from us. God, that word would go down deep, bear fruit in our lives. So, Lord, we say just have your way in this place this morning. Speak to us because your servants are listening. And the church said, amen. Vicky, yesterday it was kind of interesting because we had decided to eat organic, which is weird because we're all about processed food. And so we went and we bought this organic bread. We got vegetables, all of the stuff that you're supposed to eat that makes you feel good. Anyways, after we made sandwiches with this organic everything, it was like 2 hours later and Vicky's like, man, I'm feeling sick to my stomach. I'm like, really? Because like the way it's supposed to work is you eat that trash and like you feel great. That's like the whole point of it. And I kid you not, my wife said, you know what I need to do? I need to go to McDonald's to fix my stomach. And I kid you not, we go to McDonald's, she gets a large fry, a small fry, and then a sausage egg McMuffin, sausage with cheese McMuffin, no egg, downs that in a Diet Coke, and she was right as rain. And I thought, that is the craziest thing, because it's totally not supposed to work like that. You know, and it's just funny how as we're studying 1 Corinthians, you guys, if we've been going through it together, they're doing church in a whole way that's not supposed to work like that. They're out of control with all kinds of gifts and issues in their lives, and Paul has been dealing with a lot of this the whole time. Now, we're getting ready to close out the book. We've got two more chapters to go. Today, we're going to be actually in chapter 14, verses 20 through 40. We're going to finish it up this morning. But the thing about the church in Corinth, what was going on, is they had an issue in the church about speaking in tongues. And so, just right off the get-go, if you're new here today, this is going to be a weird subject. I'm just telling you straight. So, but God's got you here for a purpose, amen? And if it was up to me, I probably wouldn't be teaching on this anyway. Because this is one of those things where when it comes to spiritual gifts, there's kind of like two camps of people. There's people that are just all about it, crazy, hyper-spiritual. Have you ever met anybody like that? Have you ever been to a church like that? They're just bonkers for the Lord. And that's okay. And then there's people who are very conservative. They look at those people that are bonkers for the Lord, and they're like, you guys are bonkers. This is crazy. And they don't want anything to do with it. And so when we're talking about this kind of stuff, a lot of my life has been in the camp of, I see crazy people doing crazy things, and I don't want crazy, okay? I just want a humble, simple life. I don't want to complicate it. But at the same time, I do have to realize that God is amazing and that he has gifts for us that are spiritual. There's power from God. Do you know it? And he gives us spiritual power. He gives us spiritual gifts. So to throw the baby out with the bathwater is not very wise, is it? And if God has a gift for you, wouldn't you want it? You know, somebody's just got to tell you, hey, I got you a little something. And all week, you're like, what is it? What is it? You want to find out what it is, right? It could be the smallest of thing. How much more so when God says, I love you. You're my kids. I want to bestow upon you good things, powerful things of the Spirit. And then for some of us to look at it and say, yeah, you know, that's not for me. There was an issue with this speaking in tongues. And for some of us, we've already decided for God, we don't have that gift. We're like, you know what? I'm good. I don't need that. But what Paul was saying is that's not necessarily true. We do need it. And by the way, just so we know, there is a difference between tongues in the church, this unknown language, And there's interpretation of it, right? And the interpretation of it will be this, always this, God-centered, not man-centered. So if anybody was to get up in a church and they were to speak in tongues, there would be an interpretation. And if the interpretation was anything but God, you're amazing. God, your glory is amazing. You're wonderful. You're powerful. You're just. You're omniscient, omnipotent. You're everything. If it was anything but that, it would be a false tongue. That's what Paul said. And he goes into last week and he said, now, there's a difference between tongues and prophecy. And prophecy is simply proclamation, not necessarily forth-telling. Sometimes when we think of prophecy, we think about the future, someone giving information about the future, or something's going to happen down the road, or you're going to gain 15 pounds by the end of Christmas, or whatever. And so we've got these prophecy words, and that's not what prophecy necessarily is in the Bible. You see, in the Old Testament, God gave his word to prophets, and they gave his word to people. In the New Testament, God gave his word to the apostles, and they wrote the scriptures inspired by the Holy Spirit, and they gave it to us. So today, we have prophecy, but we prophesy the scriptures. Does that make sense? We proclaim the word of God because we have the word of God now. They did not have the word of God then. When Paul was writing to Corinth, there was no New Testament. There was none of that in the churches, so there was prophets that filled that gap. And what Paul said last week was that when it came to gifts, tongues took a back seat to prophecy. He said that prophecy is the better of the gifts. And the reason why is because it does what tongues cannot do. And what tongues cannot do is edify the church, because you don't know what's being said. You've got some little person in a holy huddle speaking tongues, and they're on their own team, and the rest of us are over here like, man, what are you saying? What's going on? But when someone proclaims the word of God, we all get built up. The word is edify. Say it with me. Edify. And this is an important word because Paul keeps talking about edification, edification. And what the word edification means is a house coming together. It's a house coming together. It's getting built up. Have you ever been on a job site? You show up and there's pieces everywhere and it's just thrashed and muddy. You know what? Your life was like that before Jesus. All confused, didn't know what you were doing, where you're going to go, how you're going to get there, pieces. And when the word of God came to your life, I'm just talking to the Christians for a second. When the word of God came into your life, it started putting those pieces that were all crazy together. And what Paul says is when God does that, that's called edification. It's building it up. It's building the pieces back together because that's what God wants to do. He wants to take where we've been all thrashed and pulled apart in so many different ways, and he wants to get us back to the way that he intended things to be like they were in the beginning. So whenever you guys are reading the scriptures, remember this. God is trying to get you back to the way he wants you to be. Life the way he wants life to be. And so the way that that comes is by proclamation and by prophecy. So Paul says, hey, when it comes to the gifts, it's better to prophesy than to speak in tongues. Paul made it clear we need to speak words in church that are understandable. Check 14, chapter 14, verse 9. He says, so likewise, you, unless you utter by a tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken, for you will be speaking into the air. And then in verse 13, he says, therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. And then in chapter 14, verse 19 through 20, he says, yet in the church, I would rather speak five words with my understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. And so what Paul says with that is when he says, I'd rather speak 10,000 words than five in a tongue, he's using a word that means gazillion. There was no word for 10,000. It was just kind of the Greeks cap off at numbers, like to say, hey, a bazillion or a gazillion. He says, I'd rather speak five words than a gazillion in a tongue that nobody would understand. Because when it comes to speaking in tongues in the church, there's no Google Translate for that. Somebody gets up and unless God has somebody interpret it, you don't know what's being said. And again, this is a weird subject to kind of talk about on Sunday, but it's here. We go through the Bible for a reason, so we need to learn about this stuff when we encounter it. Because if you haven't encountered a church like this yet, you will. And so Paul says, listen, there needs to be an interpretation. You got to understand the sound. What did he say? Unless we understand the sound, how are we going to hear when a bugle is played to get ready for battle? So we need the Word of God, and we need to understand the Word of God, because check this out, you're going to be in a battle. If you're not in one now, you will be in a spiritual battle at some point in your life, and you're going to need to be ready for it. And the only way you're going to get ready for battle is by hearing the Word. Could you imagine someone coming to your house ready to fight and mess you up, and you're on the couch binge watching Oak Island on Netflix with chips, and you're not even ready for it, and they come in and kick that door open, poof, and they just start jacking you up? You know what? This is what happens. When we don't understand the Word of God, we get jacked up. Watching. And you're going to go through things you didn't expect. You were going to be going through them at a time that you weren't expecting. And we got to have God's Word. And so what Paul says is, listen, it's important that we have tongues, for sure. He's going to get into that. But it's more important that we have understanding of the Word of God. That's why he said in Acts chapter 20, verse 27 to the Ephesians, Paul told them, I have not shunned to declare the whole counsel of God to you. That's why we go verse by verse here. That's why we teach the Bible, because we want to know the whole counsel of God. You know, you can't grow in the Lord unless you grow in the Word. And so we don't want to be the type of people that are ignorant in the Scriptures. And Paul's actually going to deal with that too in just a second. And so Paul says it's important that we have understanding of the Word. Check out verse 20. He says, brethren, don't be children in understanding, however in malice, be babes. But in understanding, be mature. You know, kids, they're like, babies are all about them. If you've got kids, you know what I'm saying. They are just, they gotta have what they wanna have, when they wanna have it, and if they don't have it, they're gonna freak out and they're gonna go nuts and make your life a living hell, right? They just go crazy. When my grandbabies come over, they tell me, I want snack. This is all I hear is I want snack. And it's cute at first because it's all soft and sweet. They're babies, you know, 4 years old, 3 years old, 1 year old, whatever, just babies. We want snack, Papa, we want snack. So I take them, I want to give them what they want. So I take them in the kitchen, I'm like, okay, I'm going to get these guys snacks. And if I start busting out celery, if I start busting out vegetables, it goes from, I said I want snack. I want, like they're the devil. It's crazy. I want snack, Papa. I don't want this. I don't want no celery. And it's weird because there's a lot of them. I've got a lot of little grandbabies, and one of them can't do no harm to me. But sometimes I wonder if they knocked me down, I wonder if they could take me, because they get crazy if they don't have their snack. And I guess what I'm trying to say is sometimes when it comes to the Word of God and us coming to church, we can't always get what we want, but we get what we need. When it comes to the Word of God, you know, listen, when we come, sometimes coming to church it's about understanding. It's not always getting some deep, crazy revelation. But sometimes it's understanding and getting familiar with an old truth that we need to remember, that we need to get familiar with, and understanding better about who God is, a better understanding about the book that we're reading, a better understanding about the guy that wrote it. And sometimes, check this out, church, and this is one of those services where we're all about vegetables today. Sometimes we just need to come to church with a heart to learn. Not necessarily to hear your favorite worship song, not necessarily to make sure they got your favorite Twinkies out there, but just to come into the house of God and say, okay, listen, I'm going to learn. Because in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, you know what he said? For a lack of knowledge, my people perish. And so listen, I want to encourage you guys, work on developing an understanding in the Word, not just on Sunday, but on every day. Every day getting in the Word of God, because it's important. And so Paul, in verse 21, he tells the Corinthians, in the law it is written, with men of other tongues and of other lips, I will speak to this people, and yet for all of that, they will not hear me. Interesting place to put that, Paul. Like, he's just talking about tongues, and then he quotes this weird Old Testament scripture. And whenever somebody does that in a book, you know what you do? You hit the brakes, and you go back, and you see what was going on. Like, why was he quoting something that was written over 700 years before this? And what was happening was, and what it has to do with them speaking in tongues, is that in Isaiah chapter 28, 11, what was happening is God was giving his word to the people through the prophets, and they were not, the people were refusing to hear God's word to them in a language that they understood. So it's like some people come to Ark Bible Church on Sunday, we preach the word of God simply in a language that you can all get, and then sometimes people just go out the door and go, I ain't listening to that. It was the same thing with Israel. A language they understood, broke down simple. God said, listen, this is the plan I got for your life. And they wouldn't accept it. They rejected it. So Paul's quoting a scripture where God says, okay, you don't want to listen to me and how to do things right and to get your life back together in a language you understand, that I'm going to send somebody with a language you don't get and they're going to conquer you. And it was the Assyrians that had come in, and they had conquered the people. Now, here's the interesting thing about it. The next verse, this is what Paul says in verse 22. Therefore, tongues are a sign. Really? What kind of a sign would it be then? If there is judgment with it. And what Paul says is that just because your church is speaking in tongues, they're doing it the wrong way. Everybody's going crazy. You're not listening to what I'm telling you about order in the church. It's all about order in the church. You guys aren't listening to me. And so what Paul does is he makes this connection about listening to God and rejecting it, doing your own thing. And so God says, okay, listen, tongues will not be a sign of my favor, but of my judgment. Is that nuts? That a whole church could be speaking in tongues, thinking that God is having their favor on them, but the reality of it is he's not showing favor towards them. It's a sign of judgment. And the reason why is because they're doing it all wrong. They're doing a good thing, but they're doing it in a bad way. No interpretation, no understanding, and no order at all in the service. So Paul says in verse 22, he says, therefore, tongues are a sign. Not always that you're doing, even though you might be doing a good thing, if you're doing it in a bad way, the Lord's not okay with it. And that's a reminder to our leadership. I always talk to our people about this. Why are we doing what we're doing? Is it a heart out of service? Is it a heart out of love? Because sometimes we can do Christian things out of guilt, out of being pushed, out of compulsion, whatever the case may be. And so when we get together, whatever we do, however we do it, we not only want to do the right things, but we want to do it for the right reasons. Amen? So Paul says tongues are a sign to those who believe, but not to those who believe, but the unbelievers. But prophecy is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. Therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say that you are straight up out of your crazy head mind? That's Paul saying that. So if you get offended, you're going to have to take it up with him. They're going to say you're crazy. And one of the things I want to tell you guys about our church is if you are new, what we do is we do things God's way, not our way. So you don't have to tell somebody that they got to get their helmet and seatbelt on before they come to Ark Bible Church, that we're not going to get crazy in here. We're going to do things the way God wants us to do it. And Paul says, when you bring people into the church and the whole church is going off in tongues, they're going to think you're nuts. And I'm going to tell you, I came out of a church like that. And it's the most uncomfortable thing. I had my uncle come up to visit with his kids, my cousins. And I took them to our church. And I was talking about, man, my church is so cool. They got the best worship and all of this stuff. And the pastor is really cool and all of this. And so he's like, okay, they were on vacation. They go to church with us. And halfway through worship, the worship leader goes, everybody, let's start praising God in our prayer language. And I was like, oh my gosh, not today. Like, you know that song, Tell the Devil Not Today? I was like, Lord, I'm like telling the Lord, not today, not this time. This is my uncle and my family right here. Like I want them to think I'm doing good. I don't want them to think I'm part of a cult. And so all of a sudden, she's like, just start praying. Everybody, in your prayer language, let it go. And they're all shalalada bing bang and all this weird stuff. And I'm like, man, I'm looking at my uncle. And I'm like, so what do you think? And they're like, I think I want to leave. Like, are the doors locked? Like, is the Kool-Aid coming out? What's up? And I'm just sitting there, and I'm going to tell you guys something. There's nothing more awkward than taking somebody to a church service that doesn't know anything about any of this stuff, and that goes on. And you're just like, I don't know, man. Pull up Facebook, Instagram. Just sit there and just take it. Like, I don't know what you do. Because you get up and everybody's staring at you. What, you ain't got a prayer language? What's wrong with you? So Paul says, listen, we want to do things the right way for the right reason. And if we don't, people are going to be affected by it. We don't want people to think we're crazy. We want them to think that we're going after Christ. And so in verse 24, Paul says, but if all prophesy, and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he is convicted by all, and he is judged by all. And thus the secrets of his heart are revealed, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. Man, that is so cool. That's legit, church. That's good stuff right there. You know, when the word of God is proclaimed, Paul says there's five things that go on there. Number one, when someone comes into the church and they hear the word, they're going to be convicted. They're going to be convicted because they're going to know in their hearts that they got issues. They're going to hear God's word speaking to those issues in their life. And then they're going to be convicted. God's going to show them some things. He says they're going to be convinced, which means they're going to be sure of what they hear in the word. And you know what? Sometimes we don't always know how to put the pieces together, but there's something about the word of God that when we hear it, we're like, man, I believe that. I stand on that. I don't quite understand it all, but I'm convinced by it. He says that you'll be convinced, convicted, and exposed. I don't know if you guys have ever been in church and you just felt like, man, God is opening up he's opening some stuff up inside of my heart and inside of my life that I tried to bury with all kinds of stuff. And here he is unpacking it all right here in front of me in a church service. And what Paul says is that he will expose those things in our life that need to get exposed. Because we can't hide. Everything is exposed to the one in whom we will give an account to. That's what the word of God says. He says they'll fall prostrated on their face. They'll fall on their face. Now, that may not happen literally, but I'll tell you, church, right now, there's so many times when we're together and we're worshiping the Lord, and man, I just drop in my heart. I bow before the King and I say, you're holy, you're awesome, you're amazing, you're incredible, Lord. He says that they will fall down on our heart. I know you guys do it too. And he says they'll report that God is here. So in other words, what Paul's saying is that the word works. They'll come in when we give the word, just the word. Listen, we're not doing no crazy sermon this morning. We're just giving the word. But the word works. And Paul says they'll come in, they'll have that conviction where they'll be like, man, I'm tired of faking it until I make it. I'm tired of having to go over the same old things that I've been going over in my life. I'm tired of not having the strength. I'm tired of not having the power. I'm tired of carrying the guilt, the shame. I'm just done with it all. And they get to that point and they start confessing to the Lord and they're convicted by the word because the word works. You know, we're living in a time, and I know you guys know this, but we're living in a time where we're trying to make church seeker sensitive. Are you aware of that? And what I mean by that is we're trying to create the church atmosphere in such a way where anybody will come in and feel comfortable when they're here. Now, here's an interesting thing I want to tell you guys about that. Did you know that the church is not made to make unbelievers comfortable, but uncomfortable? Do you know that we are getting in churches, we're setting up stuff in such a way that we're removing words like sin. And we're saying, you know, God, you know, your bad mistakes, your problems, your boo-boos, you're bad. But the reality of it is God didn't die for your mistakes. He didn't die for your bad. You know what he died? He died for your sins. He died for your sins. All the ones in the past, all the ones you got going on now, and the ones you haven't even got around to doing yet. It says it's done. He's cleansed us completely of all of our transgressions, our iniquities, and our sins. Not our bad. That's what we say to people when we like cut them off in traffic or something. My bad. God's like, it goes deeper than that. There's a sin issue there. And so what we're doing is we're replacing all that stuff. We're turning church into like little mini malls where you've got merchandise, you've got buffets, you've got all these different types of coffee. And I'm not saying those things are necessarily bad, but what I am saying is this, is if we create a church atmosphere, check this out, this is the word of God. If we create a church atmosphere where people who are living in sin come into church, and they're not convicted of it or they're not uncomfortable about it, you know what we're doing? We're working against the Holy Spirit. We're not working with the Holy Spirit. I'll say it again. We're working against the Holy Spirit, not with the Holy Spirit. Because you know what the Holy Spirit does? It convicts us. And listen, that's a good thing. How many of you guys, raise your hand. Are you stoked that God convicts you? Go ahead. Man, are you thankful that God shows you stuff that ugly in your life? And you're like, Lord, thank you so much for that. We don't run from them, we run to them. It exposes our sin, exposes our need for a Savior. I don't know about you, but I'm going to tell you guys something. What moves me when I get into the Word of God is not when it agrees with me, but when it doesn't. And I see the Word, I'm like, Lord, thank you. Lord, I needed that conviction. You know what the Bible says? That godly sorrow leads to repentance, but worldly sorrow leads to death. So here's the point of that. You can do one or two things with your sin. A, you can take it to the Lord and be healed, cleansed, resolved, strengthened, built up, edified, all of that. Cleansed, gone, forever, done. Or you can deal with it yourself and destroy yourself. That's the bottom line of it. And so what Paul is saying, listen, we want to have a church where there's still some conviction in the house of God, amen? It's okay. Listen, it's okay to feel uncomfortable. It's okay. That's what Paul's saying. It's okay to feel uncomfortable. And we should. I mean, if you're going to a club and you guys are and there's crazy stuff in the club, guess what? You should feel uncomfortable. If you're going around and you're getting high above like, oh, I need it for medical reasons. Everybody needs it for medical reasons, right? But if you take that And you're like, I'm going to get as high as I want because, you know, you should feel convicted. If you're being a creep at home, if you're not honoring your husband, if you're playing passive-aggressive games with your wife, if you're not, you know, there should be uncomfortableness there. It's okay to feel uncomfortable. Because when we turn to Christ and we're like, okay, listen, there's things in my life that aren't right, he strengthens us, he cleanses us, he makes all things new. Amen? The word says, if anybody be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creation. We believe it. So here's what, this is what he says in verse 25. And thus the secrets of his heart are revealed, and falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. And then he says in verse 26, how is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. That means to build up, right? If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two or three, or the most three, in each in turn, and let one interpret. But he says, if there is no interpretation, let him keep silent in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Let two or three prophets speak, and let others judge. But if anything is revealed to another who sits by, let the first one keep silent. And so in this section, what Paul's doing is he's talking about having order in the church, and we're going to close out with this. But he's talking about having order in church. And it starts out with how we do things in church. Now, he says when you guys come in, you've got a psalm, you got a teaching, you got a word of knowledge. Basically, what Paul is saying in this context is that when we come to church, we bring something to church. We don't look to just take something. In other words, church isn't a spectator sport, but a participating sport. Amen? We're not spectators, we're participators. And some of the ways that we can do that, some of you guys may not feel comfortable praying with each other. I get that. Sometimes I tell people, hey, why don't you go over there and pray with that person? Like, yeah, no. You know, I'm just not there yet. That's not my bag. I'm not. Why don't you go share a word with, nah, I'm good. I'm good. That's okay if you're not there yet. But you know what? When we come together, we should participate. And one of the ways that we can do that, we can show up 15 minutes early, see if somebody needs help. Stick around 15 minutes later. We can come in. And by the way, everybody, when people come into the church, especially new people, one of the things that we can give to the church by serving is just connecting with new people. They can come in with their tattoos, their gauges, a nose ring, a bone in their nose, I don't know, like whatever they want to do. But you know what? We can connect with people coming into the house of God and serving them. Because listen, it's a participation. It's not spectating. And so Paul says, listen, when you guys are coming to church, look to see what you guys can bring. And so in verse 27, he gives the rules for speaking in tongues. And he says, if anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two or at most three each in turn, and then let one interpret. So, and that if there's no interpretation, let him speak to himself and to God, which means you can keep silent in church. Just a heads up, because there's some people that think that all of a sudden the Spirit of God comes on them and they have no control. They'll go by the ice cream aisle in Safeway, and then all of a sudden they're slain in the Spirit, and then all that shalala bing bang comes out again, and it's crazy. And Paul's like, listen, you can chill out in church. You can keep silent about it. The Holy Spirit doesn't take over. Verse 28, he says, there should be no audible tongues in the church service unless there's an interpretation. Again, if you're new, we're getting ready to close this out, but this is for us who are all Christianese. There should be no tongues in church. None. Unless, what? That's it. That's it. How many times have we gone into a church service and that has not been the case? That's not honoring God, it's dishonoring God. And it could be a sign of judgment, not his favor. And so Paul says, listen, there is to be no tongues in church, there's an interpretation. And then in verse 29, he gives the rule for prophecy, proclamation. He says, let two or three prophets speak and let the elders judge. Let two or more speak and let the others judge. And so what was happening was these people were grabbing the mic and they're like, I got a word, I got a word. And then this guy was like, I got a word, I got a word. And Paul's like, listen, you guys need to chill out and two or three at the most speak, because there's got to be order. Because if there's no order, it's like there's going to be this chaos and everybody's going to want to grab the mic and they're not going to want to let it go. And that's what was going on in Corinth. They were just totally out of order and going crazy with the church services. And he says, when somebody speaks, note this, he says, let others judge. Don't ever take a word and just accept it apart from judging it. That's why John said in 1 John 4, verse 1, he says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Worship team, come on up. We're going to close in a second. He says, don't take every word at its word. Do you guys know we're living in crazy times? There is so much stuff going around with Christianity and stuff that's spiritual. I got this thing in the mail, and it was a prayer shawl. And it wasn't even a good one. It was a piece of paper. It was like all cheap. And they said in the letter that they sent to me, they said, you know what? Wrap yourself up in this, send us $100, and we're going to pray for you, and God's going to bless you. I looked at that, and I thought, this is the cheapest. I mean, you guys can even use real fabric, like a piece, like paper. That's what you guys are going to send me? And we get these things that people are talking about, and they're saying, hey, if you just do this, or if you just do this, God's going to bless you. And you guys, some of you guys share it on Facebook. I see it all the time. There's like these, I see friends of mine, and they've got this thing where it's like post and share, and God's going to bless your account this week. And man, I see so many people doing that, and I'm just like, I'm unfriending you. I'm blocking you. I pray for you. I don't block you. But I'm praying for you, because Paul says what? Listen, he says, don't believe every word, but he says, judge every word. Check it out, judge it. And then in verse 31 and 32, he says, for you can all prophesy one by one, that all learn and all may be encouraged, because it's a church is about encouragement, amen. And the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Now in verse 34, as we close out with this, I was thinking about just having Guy teach this part next week, but I'll go ahead and hit it. He says, let your women keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but they are to be submissive as the law requires. So I think we'll just kind of wrap it up right there and pray. Right, I'm gonna pray. Actually, I better talk about it just for a second before we get out of here. But he says, let the women keep silent in the churches, for they're not permitted to speak, but they're to be submissive. So when we look at that, that's a tough one, especially today. But I want to kind of set the context of what was going on in a church like Corinth. They had a center aisle, and on each side of the aisle, you had men on one side, and you had the ladies on the other side. And so what was happening was, in during the service, if there was a question or if there was a concern that the wife had, she would be yelling out in the middle of the service over the pastor, hey, Bob, what was that? What did he say? That whole pneumatology thing? Like, what's up with that? I didn't, how you spell pneumatology? And could you imagine trying to teach her all that? And so they're asking all these questions and they're interrupting the church service. And so Paul says, listen, you guys need to simmer it down. And it's not necessarily the women, because just before that, he was talking about prophecy and proclaiming the word of God. He's like, listen, fellas, too, when you guys are sharing a word, only two or at the max three, you guys need to shut up and chill out. So it's about order in the church. It's not like chauvinistic or anything like that. Paul is just trying to reestablish that order in the church. And so he tells them that for the women that they need to be quiet in the church. And it comes down to order in the church. And he says in verse 35, and if they want to learn something, let them ask their own husbands at home. By the way, if you ask your husbands at home, being men, you know what we do if we don't know the answer? We're going to try to find it. So some people that got their husbands saved by just bombarding them with questions about the scriptures that they had no idea about. So Paul says, when you go home, let them ask their husbands. And it says, if they want to learn something, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it's shameful for a woman to speak in the church, again, in the context. Or did the word of God come originally from you, or was it only you that it reached? So Paul was anticipating some kickback from some ladies about what he just said. And so he's like, listen, the word of God came to us, not you. So you're just going to have to accept it and chill out. In verse 37, he closes with this. If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. But if anyone is ignorant, let him be ignorant. How many of you guys know you can't fix stupid? Amen. Let them believe what they're going to believe. Don't argue with them. Let them do what they're going to do. Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy and do not forbid the speaking with tongues. Let all things be done in a decent and orderly way. Would you guys stand with me as we close this out? Paul sums everything up right there when it comes to church and what we're doing. And he used a word. He said, let all things, not some things. So he's not just talking about how we do things in church, but just also how we do things in our lives. And this is what Paul's bottom line is. And I want you guys to remember this when you go. There's things in our lives that we need to tighten up with the Lord. There's things in our lives that we need to get tightened up with the Lord. And so this morning, I want to pray as we close this out. Maybe God's been speaking to you about some things that have been out of order in your life. Maybe you came in here today and there's one thing. I don't know where you're at today, but I bet that there's been something this last week that God has been convicting you of. Like Paul just got this word convicts us, and that's to encourage us. It's to point us to Jesus. And if that's you this morning, and there's just been that thing this week that just keeps coming up, and God wants you to square away with it, listen, we need to tighten things up in our life with the Lord. And the way that we do it is we give it to the Lord, and we keep giving it to Him. And we say, God, we need your strength. We need your power. I need you to fix this. I need you to take this. I need you to develop me in this, whatever it is for you, whatever that circumstance is. And so listen, let's bow our heads. Let's bow our heads this morning, and we're going to close out with this. I want to pray for you this morning, for the one who came in here and God's been showing you something that's out of order in your life. Just take a minute. Like the church in Corinth, they had so many things that were out of order. And the reason why it mattered to Paul that they get it back together is because it mattered to God. And so, Lord, we come into your presence today. And the thing that you may be showing us right now may be something we're ashamed of. Maybe something we're fearful of. Maybe we're not able to deal with. And there's disorder in our life, God. Right now, in Jesus' name, we give it to you, and we pray that you give us strength to overcome it, that you give us the ability to tighten up those things in our life that are loose, Lord. Father, break chains, break strongholds. You're our power. You're our present help in time of need. Lord, we believe you're the one that we can go to that can fix us, heal us, and forgive us in Jesus' name, and we thank you for that, Lord. We give it to you. And if you're here this morning, this was a rough service, talking about things you may not have been ready to hear about. or things you even wanted to talk about. This is what you need to know if you haven't given your life to God. There's order with God. And the order was this, that he came, that he died, that he gave his life on the cross for your sins, and he was buried for 3 days and he rose again. And he paid the price for your sins. And all he does is extend that forgiveness out to you today if you take it. Whoever shall come, come. And whoever comes to God, in no way will he cast out. That's what the Word of God says. So if that's you here this morning and you haven't made a decision to have Christ forgive you of your sins and to give your life over to God and let him take the reins, and you let him do in your life what he wants to do, he'll make all things new. That's a promise that he gives you. And if that's you, just pray with me this morning. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I surrender my life to you. I surrender my will to you. God, I pray that you come into my life and forgive me all my sins by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that in return, you give me your peace. You give me your grace. You give me your forgiveness. And give me new direction, Lord. And make all things new in my life. The Bible says when we do that, that God's going to do a work in you and he will complete it in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Let's give God praise this morning. So this morning, listen. Don't go out of here prematurely. We're going to take communion. This is our opportunity to connect with the Lord and remember his sacrifice. We're going to play one more worship song, and then we're going to get out of here. And I want you guys to remember, the reason why order is so important is because it's so important to God. And so if there's a thing that he was talking to you about to tighten up, to bring to him in your life, go out of here this week and work on that one thing. Amen? Amen.